This morning's sermon is called Rivers of Living Water from the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 through 53, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This passage is a continuation of our last couple of passages from last Sunday and the Sunday before. Jesus was preaching and teaching in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. I really want to focus this morning on verses 37 through 39. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 53. Some important verses here I'd like you to highlight or mark in your Bible, especially verses 37 through 39. Very important verses for you to know and for you to share with your family and friends that you're trying to lead to the Lord. Let's take a look at verse 37. Verse 37 says, "On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out," which means he yelled, "saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink.'" Oh, amen, huh? Amen. First verse. What an invitation from our Lord Jesus. "If anyone thirst, let him come and drink. Let him come to me and drink." Powerful. If your soul is thirsty, if your soul is longing for forgiveness, if your soul is longing for hope, longing for peace, longing for salvation, longing to be set free by the power of sin, Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me, those who are thirsty." What an invitation to eternal life, right here in verse 37. People generally come to Christ because their soul is thirsty, because their soul is empty. It all begins, salvation, coming to Christ, always begins with a thirst for Jesus Christ. Amen. Realizing that Jesus is the only source that can satisfy the soul. If your soul thirsts, Jesus said, "Come to me and drink." Come to me with all your heart. Come to me with all your soul. Come to me with all your mind, come to me with all your strength, and I will give you life. What an amazing invitation from the Lord. If your soul thirsts, come to me, believe in me, and receive me. We read back in John, the first chapter, verse 12 and 13, we read that, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God." Born again, spiritually alive in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "Just come. Just come. Come to me, turn to me, believe in me, receive me, and you will find eternal life in me." Powerful. Share that verse with your family members and friends. Jesus inviting you to come. You notice in this verse, Jesus said, "anyone," which means everyone. John 3:16, "Whoever shall believe and my son shall have eternal life." It doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus said, "Come to me and I'll give you eternal life." You know what Jesus is saying? "I'll take you just the way you are." Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you've done. I'll take you just as you are. Just come. What an invitation for eternal life. Come to me and I'll give you spiritual, living water. Jesus told the Samaritan woman the same thing. We went over that in chapter 4. Remember what he said to the Samaritan woman by the well? He said, whoever drinks of this physical water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst spiritually. The water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's in John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus told the woman by the well, he said, this water, if you drink this, you're going to thirst again. You'll be back here tomorrow at noon. You'll be drawing more water, but the water that I give you will spring up into you, living water. You become alive spiritually in Christ, in Him. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Never. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3, God said, if anyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, says the Lord, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Another invitation from God. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. An everlasting covenant with you, says the Lord. An agreement I will make with you. You come, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, says the Lord Almighty God. Invitation. We've been seeing since going through the book of John, invitation after invitation after invitation of Jesus saying, come to me and I'll give you eternal life. This is the gospel of, this is the gospel invitation right here. Eternal security in Christ Jesus. Why would one not come? Let's take a look at verse 38 and 39, very important verses as well that I want you to mark in your Bible and get to know. Look at verse 38 and 39. Jesus continues to say, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, he who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The rivers of living water that flows through us is the Holy Spirit, as the scripture has said, right? When do we receive the Holy Spirit? At salvation. The day you truly come to Christ through repentance and faith, you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer. Powerful. The Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Speaking of those in Christ Jesus. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's tragic. And if Christ lives in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, he's going to raise you if the Spirit of God lives within you. Every true believer in Christ possesses the Holy Spirit. You are a temple. Your body is the temple for the Holy Spirit. That's God taking up residency within the believer's heart, in you. Pretty cool, huh? God living inside you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit living within its believers, as the Scripture says. That we are a body, a temple for the Holy Spirit. That's why when we sin, the Bible says we grieve the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So when we sin, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us, right? Once you're saved, you're saved. Salvation isn't temporary. You know, oh, you had a bad day, I'm out of here. No. The Spirit lives within us every day. But Scripture tells us that when we sin against God and we do things that God does not approve of, we grieve the Holy Spirit inside of us. We grieve. Doesn't leave, he grieves and convicts. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not only changing us into the image of Christ, but also convicting us when we do sin, right? If you sin and it doesn't bother you, that's a dangerous place to be in, because there's no conviction of the Holy Spirit in you. That's very dangerous. That's why someone can't live in sin and say they're a born-again Christian, because the Holy Spirit will not allow it. So if sin doesn't bother you, that's a dangerous place to be, because the Holy Spirit isn't convicting you. Once you lose the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you need to turn to Christ. Jesus said, if you come to me, you believe me, receive me, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Come empty, and Jesus will fill you. Fill your heart. Come empty, right? You come empty to the Lord, right? We don't come full. Hey, that's what religious people do, religionist. They come full. Hey, Lord, look what I did. Pretty good, huh? Did I tell you what I did last Wednesday, too? Yeah. I went over there and did that. Look at me, Lord. Come empty. Come humble. I got nothing, Lord. I got nothing. I'm coming to you empty, and I want you to do the filling in me. That's how one finds Christ. They come empty. They come broken. They have a thirst for Christ. That's how one finds life. You know, the other thing is, your heart and soul be satisfied in Christ. But not only that, those rivers of living water that flow through you, listen, not only do they flow, right? It doesn't say they stay. They flow, the Scripture says. So they flow to others. The Holy Spirit comes in and flows to others. God didn't want you to receive the Holy Spirit and just, oh, this is nice. It's going to hold on. No, it says that the rivers were going to flow through you and I to others, right? God saved you, and he wants to use you. He wants to use you. He has a work to do. He has a world to reach. He has a people to tell, a gospel to share, a son to glorify. And he wants to use you and me to do so. He made salvation all about saving you and you bringing others to him. Right? You've heard me say this before. We didn't get saved to sit. Amen? We didn't get saved to sit. Jesus commands all believers, go share your faith with others. That's the Great Commission. Go tell the world. Go tell your family. Go tell your friends what great things I've done for you, says the Lord. Go tell them. Go tell your friends and family how I saved you when you hit rock bottom. how I raised you up. Go tell them. Tell them about the joy that I bring to your heart and I can do for them. He wants us to share our faith, share his word, share the gospel, pray with others, invite others to church so they can hear his word and be moved by the scriptures and come to Christ. And he wants us to do this, listen, all for his glory. He wants to use you for all of his glory. And the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us. We've got to rely on the Holy Spirit when you share your faith with others. Don't you try doing it yourself. You're going to screw it right up. There's a good possibility you're going to screw it up. You go share your faith with a family member. You say, listen, I want to have a coffee with you. You need to know this. You better pray on the way. Holy Spirit, lead me. Speak through me. Because I want you to give them life like you've given me. I don't want them to die outside of Christ. So give me the words. The Holy Spirit will do that. The Holy Spirit will absolutely do that. Because you know why the Holy Spirit will do that? Because it's God's will. The Bible tells us if it's God's will, God hears us. It's God's will for you to go and share your faith with others. Let's take a look at verse 40 and 44. It says in the passage, it says, therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, these things Jesus was saying, they said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? Got some skeptics going on. Verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of Jesus. Now some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Oh, we've been seeing this, right? We saw this last week. Many in the crowd believed. Hallelujah. They heard Jesus' words and they believed. And that's how one finds life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. You know how one finds life, right? Right here, in God's word. That's how one finds life. Through God's word. If you're not in the scriptures, it's hard to have faith. You're trying to tackle the world without God. Good luck. You're going to live a life like this. Oh, good day, bad day. Today's great. No. When Christ comes and lives within you, the Holy Spirit, this is your days. Steady. Joy in Christ. Are bad times going to come? Absolutely. But you're going to be like this. Not like this. Oh, what are we going to do? No. Joy from the Lord. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And guess what? We see right here in the scriptures, it says many in the crowd when Jesus was preaching, thousands of people in the temple, they were convinced in their heart and said, truly, this is the prophet, this is the Christ. They believed. But we see at the end of verse 41, we see that there were some skeptics in the crowd and said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? I mean, come on, Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? You know, had they did a little research and went to the temple records, they would have saw that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They also would have saw that Mary, his mother, and Joseph, they lived in Galilee, but she gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. They could have checked the records at the temple. And they could have checked and saw that Mary was from the line of David, the tribe of Judah. But skeptics don't do the research. Skeptics don't check the God's word to see for themselves, to see if they believe. They'd rather just say, I don't know. That's called willful unbelief. Tragic. Tragic. It also says that there was a division among the crowd between the believers and the religious leaders. Right? The true believers were standing up saying, no, this is the Christ. And they were saying, no, it's not. There was a division. Genuine believers stand up for Christ and say, yes, this is the Christ. And that's what they were doing in that crowd, genuine believers. It also says that the religious leaders wanted to take Jesus, as in have him arrested and kill him, as we've been going through the scripture. But no one laid a hand on him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. What does that mean? Well, besides him, it means going to the cross. No one could do anything. They were powerless. Why? Because they were restrained by the power of God the Father. They were under divine control. God has power over everyone and everything. And they couldn't arrest him. They were just probably standing like frozen. Right? Couldn't do anything. I mean, we've been seeing this over and over. Right? There's thousands of people. No one can get them. Someone came in here and wanted to get me. They'd do it no problem. Unless God stopped them. But they couldn't do it to Jesus because his hour had not yet come and God the Father wouldn't allow it. Jesus was on a divine schedule. And Scripture says his time, his hour, had not yet come. Let's take a look at verse 45 and 46. It says, then the officers came. These are the temple officers. They came to the chief priest and the Pharisees, who said to them, the officers, why have you not brought him to us? The officers answered, look at this. No man has ever spoken like this man. The officers were like, I know we were supposed to arrest Jesus. I know. But no man has spoken like this man. Jesus' words stopped them dead in their tracks. His words astonished them. They said, no man has ever spoken like Jesus. Almost to say to them, hey, you may not believe, but we do. They came back with a testimony that was honest and pure and said, no one has spoken like Jesus Christ. No man. They heard Jesus yell out, because it says that Jesus in verse 37 cried out four times, only four times in the New Testament that we see that Jesus cried out, which means he yelled in the temple only four times. This is the second time. So when he yelled out and these officers heard, if anyone thirsts, come to me and drink. And they were moved by his words. They heard him say, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And it hit their heart. It hit their heart. And they said, no man has spoken like this man. The officers heard, come to me, believe in me, receive me, and I'll give you eternal life. And they were moved by the word of God. Let's take a look at the Pharisees' response to this in verse 47 and 49. Verse 47 says, "Then the Pharisees answered them," the temple officers, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed," means condemned. They said to the officers, "Are you also deceived?" Almost to say, "Are you that stupid?" Right? That's probably what they probably said as well. "Are you that stupid?" They were like, "None of us are fooled by Jesus. And whoever doesn't know the law of Moses is accursed." They just convicted themselves with their own words. These religious unbelievers were dead men walking. They didn't want to believe. Nothing that Jesus said moved their hearts. They did not and they would not believe in Jesus. You know some people like that? I do. They will not and they did not believe. And it cost them their eternal life. You know, the thing is too, they saw the signs. They witnessed the miracles. They heard his powerful words. And they weren't moved by one bit. They claimed to know God. They did not know God at all. They were spiritually dead. Oh, they were religious, all right. Bunch of religious unbelievers, uncommitted believers, unconverted believers. Dangerous. Let's take a look at verse 50 and 52. Look who's in the crowd. Huh? Right? Look who's in the crowd, our brother in Christ, Nicodemus. Remember him from back in chapter 3? He's in the crowd. Look what it says in verse 50. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night. You remember reading that. Being one of them, said to them, to his Pharisee buddies, "Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing?" They answered and said to Nicodemus, "Are you from Galilee too?" A little bit of attitude, right? "Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee." Come on, Nicodemus. Wrong. Prophet Jonah did. Elijah did. Micah did. They didn't check the records. These guys are supposed to be teachers of God's word. Check the scriptures. No prophets ever come out of Galilee. Come on, Nicodemus. Oh yeah, there has been prophets out of Galilee. 2 years prior to this passage, back in chapter 3, seems like 2 years for us too, right? I tell you, we're not in a race. Going through God's word slow. You want to understand it. You guys heard me before. If you're in a race, you're in a hurry, go check out Second Baptist. Just kidding. We're going slow through God's word because we want to know it. Amen? We're not in a hurry. 2 years ago, prior to this passage, we read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And what Nicodemus heard from Jesus that night astonished him. And the words from Jesus' mouth divides all humanity into two groups. Jesus said to Nicodemus three times, Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Before Nicodemus could even ask a question, Jesus knew why he was coming, and he said, most assuredly I say to you, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus was telling Nicodemus, I know why you came to me tonight. You want to know how one gets into eternal life, because your false religion isn't going to get you there. He says, this is how one finds life. We must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Spiritually alive in Christ, saved. Nicodemus, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, unless you come to me, you believe in me, you receive me as Savior, and place your faith and trust in me and me alone, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He hits Nicodemus right between the eyes three times in eight verses. John 3, 1 through 8. Nicodemus came to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh, and finally realized that Jesus is the only way to enter into eternal life, that Jesus is the only road that leads to heaven. He's the only gate in which we must all go through to enter into eternal life. This is why Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Nicodemus had come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. And he spoke up. Look at this. He spoke up and defended Jesus to all the religious leaders, right in this passage. He tells his Pharisee friends, hope you don't have any of those. He tells his Pharisee friends, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? Nicodemus knew it wasn't right for them to arrest and kill Jesus without a trial. So he speaks out and he tells them, you're wrong. You know? It probably cost Nicodemus on that day doing that. Just like it's going to cost you. It may cost you out sharing your faith with others. But he was a genuine believer. He stood up for Christ and said, you're wrong. I've told you this before, being a follower of Jesus Christ, you may lose family and friends. But I'm telling you right now, it's going to be all worth it. You stay with Christ to the end. Stay with Christ all the way. It doesn't mean give up on them. Pray for them. And let God be God. Nicodemus stands up. You know why Nicodemus stood up? Not only because he come to believe that Jesus was the Son of God and there's the only way I'm going to get through into heaven is through him. You know why? Because God's grace had been working in Nicodemus' heart for 2 years now since he had that discussion with him back in chapter 3. When he went to him at night. You know why he went to him at night, right? Because he didn't want his Pharisee friends to see him. This is at the beginning stages of trying to search out God. It says the scripture wants us to know, Nicodemus, by the way, came at night. John wants us to know that. In other words, he was a coward. He came at night. He didn't want his Pharisee friends to know that he was seeking Jesus. And John brings it back up in this passage. He says, oh, you remember Nicodemus? He came by night. Don't forget, this man came by night. John wants us to know this. When he found life, he came by night. Back then, he was a coward. He didn't want anyone to know he was seeking after Jesus Christ. After coming to Christ 2 years later, he's in the temple defending Jesus. And I'm sure it cost this man. Just like it may cost you for saying, I am a believer of Jesus Christ. If you brought your Bible with you, then we'll close here. I want you to turn to John chapter 19. Then we'll close. I want you to, same book, John, I want you to go to chapter 19. I'll let you get there a minute. John chapter 19. I want you to go down to verse 39. Verse 39 through 42. Look who's at Jesus' burial. You see that in your Bible? You see that in your scripture right there? Who's at Jesus' burial? Nicodemus. Let me read this, 39 through 42. And Nicodemus, look at John, what he writes next, right? Who at first came to Jesus by night, just in case you forgot, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. 100 pounds of spices. Verse 40. Then they, he was part of they, took the body of Jesus and bound him in strips of linen, with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Verse 41, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So there they, Nicodemus is part of they, laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Nicodemus showed up at his Savior's burial and anointed him with 100 pounds of spices. He anoints Jesus with 100 pounds of spices and takes him carefully, wraps him in linen, and puts him in the tomb nearby. You don't think Nicodemus came to Christ? Oh, yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, he did. He came to Christ on that very first night. Jesus convicted him and told Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, which means you can count on this, unless one is born again, born from above, spiritually born, he cannot see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. You know what he was telling Nicodemus? Your religion that you've been trusting in, that false religion, that works-based religion, if you follow the law to a T, get you into heaven? He says, that's rubbish. You're only going to get to heaven through me. And he believed. And he came to Christ. He heard Jesus' words. He heard Jesus' words and came to Christ. That's how one finds life. Nicodemus had a curious heart that led him to Jesus. One night, he had a hungry heart to know more about Jesus. And let me tell you, that's all it takes with Jesus Christ. Coming to him with a hungry heart. That's it. Come with a curious heart. Get into the scripture. Get to know me and come to me. That's all it takes, and I'll save you, says the Lord. Nicodemus remembers the words that Jesus told him on that night. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he heard the words of Jesus in the temple that day in verse 37 and 38. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he came to Christ. You know the most fascinating thing about Nicodemus? He went from a Pharisee to a disciple of Jesus Christ because he heard his words and he believed. That's it. Our final verse 53, just says that after all these things John wrote, everyone went to his own house. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us through your word. Over and over we see in the scriptures our Lord Jesus Christ saying, just come. If you're thirsty, if your soul is not satisfied, just come to me. Just believe me. Just receive me as your Savior and place all your faith and trust in me and me alone for your salvation, and I'll give you eternal life, says the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We ask you, Lord, that you'd continue to do this week after week as we go through your word, that you'd continue to minister to us, Lord. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.